All righty, Director Tran, whose chair had asked me to cover for him, Vice Chair Yeo, is that okay that I handle that from in here?
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. All right, well, I will call to order the Communications and Legislative Liaison Committee meeting on March 5th here in Conference Room C2. Can I do a roll call, please?
Roll call, Director Tran.
Present, I'm here as a public observer
Thank you,
for
Director
the
Yeo.
meeting.
Here.
Director Sheldon, Director Mesquita,
Present.
Director Wiegand,
Here.
Director Green,
Here.
Director Jung, Director Nguyen, Director Meeks,
Here.
Director Bilodeau. You do have a quorum of your committee.
Okay, and then just for clarification, Director Tran, since it's a visitor, won't be able to vote if there's any votes, and then we'll work down the list. Okay, perfect. All right, are there any items too late to be agendized?
No.
Okay, great. Any visitors wishing to participate? I don't see any in the room here. And no hands raised. Okay, great. I will then do consent calendar, which
Move it.
minutes. All right,
Second.
I have a motion. And I think I heard Director Yeo at the second.
That's correct.
Okay. All right, call for the vote.
Roll call, Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Mezqua.
Yes.
Director Wiegand.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Meeks.
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
All right, great. Matters for consideration. Item two is the state legislative update.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Jason Gonsalves, I'll start things off and be relatively brief because we're facing, I guess we'll call it the calm before the storm here in Sacramento. The deadline to introduce legislation was February 20th, about a week ago. The legislature did not disappoint, and in meaning they introduced 1,798 bills, so we'll call it 1,800 bills. And probably the most perplexing part of that is that's a 20-year low. And the reason being is, it is. The reason being is last session they introduced 2,800 bills, 1,100 plus became law, but they implemented a 35 bill per member cap, which resulted in just shy of 1,800 bills by February 20th. So we're starting this session with about 1,000 bills less than we did in 2025. They're all very much needed laws. So much so that about 30% are spot bills, still yet to contain any substantive changes. So we'll be watching the spot bills. And I should note that constitutionally, they have to be in print for 30 days before they can be heard. So we're really looking at mid-March for committee hearings to start ramping up. As I think I've previously noted, the governor released his budget. Actually, he did the State of the State on January 8th. It was his first State of the State since 2020 and also his last State of the State as governor. On January 9th, the Director of Finance released the budget. The Nonpartisan Legislative Analyst Office projects an $18 billion deficit continuing through 2028. Governor Newsom projects a $2.9 billion deficit and something entirely different in 2028, maybe a campaign. But I will say the governor thus far has been proven more accurate. Revenues are trending about $6 billion higher to the extent that the LAO has reduced their $18 billion down to $16 billion. So, obviously the international impacts and the federal government could change that rather quickly, but thus far the state's revenues are trending upward. And the last, it's more of a political tidbit, but we anticipate or we've anticipated having 11 candidates for governor, nine of which were Democrats. The Democratic Party chair, Rusty Hicks, urged the candidates to drop out, the more long shot. Over the last week, the deadline is tomorrow to file, and I guess the good news is we're down to 10 that I can tell thus far. Ian Calderon, the former majority floor leader in the assembly, dropped out this morning and ended up endorsing Eric Swalwell. So it's created quite a stir in Sacramento, and quite honestly, it's become an issue where those that were being urged to drop out happened to be candidates of color, and rather resistant of that dynamic. So we'll know more by tomorrow's filing deadline, but long and short of it, or long and long of it, is 2026 is shaping up to be quite the election year. So with that, I'll stop there. I don't know if Jason Eichert, if I missed anything on the high level update, and I'm happy to answer any questions other than perhaps who's going to win the governor's race.
We're going to defer to you on anything related to that one, Jason, but we don't have a ton to add. Just an observation that the whole reason the legislature looked to reduce its bill limits was to give itself and its hired staff the ability to be a little bit more deliberate and focused on bills. But, as Jason's implied, when you're still dealing with 1,700 brand new bills, that's just not realistic. It's not going to happen. So it may be a 20-year low, but in every other way, it's business as usual here in Sacramento. And the only other comment would be, agree, the governor has been proven right thus far on revenues. What I would give the legislative analyst office is that what they're really predicting is that things will not continue to be as good as they are today. And regardless of whether you get the through the 26, 27 budget year okay because of higher than anticipated revenues, someday the bottom is going to fall out, and it would be good to start planning for that right now. So, anyways, those are my only two little edits.
Okay, great. Is there any questions in the room? Any online?
I would just say that I would hope that we do not have 11 candidates for governor. Dear God. I hope we don't.
Think
Somebody
they're.
talk to them, please.
I don't think they're listening.
The John Burtons and the Jerry Browns, and the particularly on the Democratic side, the party leaders are so far no one's stepped up. And Governor Newsom reiterated today he will not put his thumb on the scale. He may need to in the coming months, but thus far, it's a free for all.
Yeah, I was watching, John Burton had a conversation with them too. So, yeah, let's just hope that there's some change. Otherwise, we know what'll happen with 11 people in the race.
Oh, we're down to 10, Madam Mayor. So Ian Calderon dropped out. So we're making progress.
All
One
right, well, 10.
at
Good. All right, thank you for sharing that. And I want to let you know, when you said 1800 bill, I was like, bills, I was like, oh my goodness. And that's, that's actually not the norm, right? You said there's usually more on the table.
about 1,000 more last session. And to Jason's point, the hearings won't start until middle of May. So you really have half of May. June, they're gone the month of July and August. So you're really looking at about 4 months of vetting of those 1800 bills.
Okay,
So
great.
there's just no way they've solved the problem they're trying to solve, honestly. That's the truth.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's all I have.
Okay, great. Seeing no other hands raised, we'll move on to item three, the federal legislative update. Eric, take it away. Hope you're on mute, though. There we go.
You can't teach an old dog new tricks. So good afternoon, everybody. A couple of updates. I'll pass over the international conflict that has no impact on Orange County Water District. I will say, however, that just an hour ago, the first firing of the Trump administration occurred. Kristi Noem is out, and as is emblematic of the way the president works things, if you look at Trump 1.0, she was giving a presentation to a conference when the word came down through a reporter's question to her to ask what she thought about being let go by the Department of Homeland Security. So major changes going on. Literally, from a local government perspective, what really I think prompted the dismissal at the end of the day wasn't the immigration protests and what have you, and the violence of CBB, but rather the last 2 days of hearings before the Senate and the House committees with respect to FEMA's inability to get the money out to disaster victims. And I think that really was what broke the back of the camel, so to speak. And so she's out. I don't know who is going to be the acting secretary, but we do know that Senator Mark Wayne Mullins from Montana is going to be the nominee to be the next Secretary of Homeland Security. So that's the latest update from the Capitol on more, shall we say, immediate concerns for OCWD. My hat is tipped to Alicia and Gina for slogging through. I wish I could say with me, but they did most of the work on putting together the community project funding requests for fiscal year 27, which are due tomorrow and the next couple of days in March. Those requests have gone in. If you have any questions, I'll let them give you the specific data on the request. But we are in a good shape to make the request to Representative Young Kim, Senator Schiff, Senator Padilla, and working with one of the cities, Santa Ana, with Representative Lou Correa. So that's where we are on appropriations. With respect to other issues, I would just give an update. And this is going to catch the general manager off guard. So, John, please pay attention. It appears that the congressional briefing on PFAS is going to happen on March 23rd. This is a briefing that we are organizing with a number of passive receivers to promote and highlight the importance of providing a legislative fix so that water agencies and others are not subjected to Superfund liability because they treat PFAS in the water and generate residuals and other things. So that's going to happen on March 23rd. That just was decided by the passive receivers about 20 minutes ago. So that's where we are there. We'll be working with the staff to organize any kind of input from the district on that briefing. And I think, Chair, that in order of importance, shall we say of momentary importance, that's where we are today.
So Eric, we will get a chance to testify, Orange County Water District?
If you are so desirous of doing it, yes.
Okay. I know Director Tran said he would be ready while his hand is up. Go ahead, Director Tran.
Thank you so much. Eric, thank you for the presentation. You said that the March 23rd briefing, it's not a congressional hearing, is it? Is it a staff briefing or because it's Monday?
You are correct. It is a congressional briefing, not a hearing, not a formal hearing. So you won't have to raise your hand and swear allegiance and under God to be truthful. But it will be the next best thing to a hearing, which is to get all the staff who are going to write legislation addressing this issue in the room to hear what you and others have to say. So it really does push the needle forward.
Right. Are you suspecting any members? Because it's a Monday. Usually the members don't meet on Monday.
Yeah, so.
Or primarily a staff? Is it a staff?
So the answer is it's generally done for staff. And if there is a member, the House will not be in on Monday, but the Senate will. So we don't know if any senators will turn up, but we do know that their staff, and the reason we do this, Director Tran, is if you have it on the Monday or Friday, and Friday's just awful, but if you did it on a day when they're not in session, the staff can get away from their desk. They don't have to worry about hearings or votes on the floor. So they can.
That's right. Very well. Thank you so much.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah. I just wanted to note that we also submitted funding requests from Congressmembers Tran and Min as well.
Again, if I may, Chair, if I have a brief presentation just to go, because I know it's been a busy time and we didn't include as much in the write-up, but Alicia's been doing a lot of meetings and all of that, so I just wanted to share updates.
That's great. Okay.
Oh, I didn't do it right, Tucker.
There you go.
Okay. Okay. So January and February have been busy, and we wanted to highlight for the committee some of the communications, meetings, and requests that staff has been working on. So Alicia's done a great job managing the legislative affairs along with Eric and our state consultants as well. So I wanted to go over federal activities first. So here's just a list of what OCWD has submitted in terms of letters that affect our federal activities. So we turned in a support letter for the EPA proposed the North Basin interim remedy. We got 16 of our producers to sign on with us. So that was a comment letter. And then we also did a WRDA authorization for the Lower Santiago Creek. So Congressman Correa is going to submit that for us. And Alicia, thank you. And Alicia got letters of support for that. President Bilodeau provided a quote for Young Kim's. It just came out, and I'll send it to you. It appeared in communications that she had regarding fiscal year funding and all that she's done for her service area. So President Bilodeau had a quote thanking her for the funding for PFAS. And then we did submit as well letters to Congressman Correa and Kim for their ongoing support, and particularly that fiscal year funding. And then we did requested our Orange County delegation and Congressman Calvert to sign on to a Scripps letter supporting federal appropriations for FERO. So that would aid us with stormwater capture at Prado Dam. As Eric mentioned, and Alicia's been working hard to submit funding requests for community project funding. So those are the applications for all of our PFAS funding. And they will be submitted to Senators Padilla and Schiff, and then Congressmembers Kim, Tran, Min, and Correa. And letters of support are coming in from all of our elected officials, including supervisors.
And I just wanted to clarify that the funding request for Correa is actually from the city of Santa Ana. We just helped them collect information that they needed from us. And
Yes, and we did the same thing last year, so works out well, and they're appreciative. Then turning over to state, there's been a lot going on as well. So Alicia attended the Aqua Legislative Symposium, the State Legislative Committee, and the CGC Lobby Day, which gives an opportunity to visit offices and hear legislators talk as well. And then the CMUA and Water Reuse Legislative Committee. OCWD is also involved in the SB 1157 Benefits and Impacts Work Group, and Claire and Alicia work closely on that with others supporting. So OCWD provided input through these ongoing meetings, but also through a survey that was sent out. So we did that. And then I think Jason already mentioned the bill deadline and the correct number, which is 1800. So in terms of outreach for state officials, when Alicia was up there for the symposium, she did visit all of the offices for the Orange County delegation, provided them with our materials, our state priorities. And then upcoming in April, there will be a California Groundwater Coalition Lobby Day. So Alicia will be attending that as well and continuing to advocate for our state priorities. As Eric mentioned, there is the upcoming Washington, D.C. trip that Director Van Tran, John, Alicia, and Eric will be attending. We do have the confirmed now PFAS briefing. And then Eric is working on scheduling meetings with our Orange County delegation and staff. And that concludes my presentation. Happy to answer any questions.
Tomorrow is Aqua State Ledge.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, great. Any questions online? I can't see any signatures. Perfect. Okay. Thank you, Eric, and thank you guys for that. I will make the recommendation to agendize these items for our March 18th meeting. And are there any director's announcements or reports? General Manager?
Nothing to report.
Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you all.
Wait,